Well, this takes us into the message, which is Christmas in July. And to move us into that message, I invite you to enjoy the following music video.
Christ was born. Christ was.
Well, a few weeks back, when Mary and I met to schedule themes and talk about titles for the rest of the year, for the rest of 2020, the title came up, Christmas in July. And I honestly don't recall how it first came up, but I'm pretty sure it was Mary who suggested it, threw it out there. And anyway, I jumped all over it. I thought it was absolutely perfect. Understandably, there are no doubt are people in the world who might say, this is insane. This is absurd. Christmas in July? No way. But the truth is, it is perfect on at least a couple of different levels. First of all, there are countries in the Southern Hemisphere where it is now the middle of winter, and they actually do celebrate Christmas in July. Secondly, it pretty much is universally agreed by theologians and biblical scholars everywhere that Jesus was not born on December 25th. December 25th was arbitrarily chosen. And just to quickly share a bit of history with you, early on in the 4th century, the Romans ruled the world. Constantine was the emperor of Rome, and he converted to Christianity, and therefore so did the rest of the Roman Empire. However, already deeply embedded in Roman culture were multiple pagan customs, rituals, festivals, and celebrations. And we all know that change does not come very easily. And one of them centered around the winter solstice. So rather than to do away with a cherished custom, the young church at that time arbitrarily incorporated the birth of Jesus to the festivities that already included things like music and lights and dancing and even gift giving. So the notion that now is not the time really does not apply. And if anything, the whole concept of now is not the time often is code or strategy, because it is a more readily accepted, sometimes evasive term that is used in place of other words like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with that. Not just now, but ever. Or never will be the right time. I admit on the surface, it does seem a little bit odd to be talking Christmas and singing carols in the middle of July. Christmas also feels a bit weird in the midst of a pandemic, with a virus resurging all over our country and the world, and people are getting sick and dying. And so the words, now is not the time, seem to ring true somewhat. We are witnessing protests and demonstrations across the nation, and the Black Lives Matter movement is very active. And again, I get the sense in which now is not the time might make some sense. Politically, we are in turmoil. We are polarized, regardless of what your personal politics may be. And economically, we are desperately trying to hang on to stay afloat. So again, makes sense. Now is not the time. And if you pay attention closely, regardless of your political views, you will hear politicians say, this is not the time, or now is not the time to talk about it. Senator, what do you think about the whole immigration issue? Now is not the time to talk about it. When kindergarten children were killed at Sandy Hook, in response to questions about gun control, politicians said, this is not the time to discuss this. And these same words were used back in 2017 when a gunman fired over 1,000 rounds of ammunition on a crowd in Las Vegas. And 58 people were killed. And another 413 people were wounded. But again, now is not the time. We use this concept of now is not the time in one form or another in our personal lives all of the time. I remember back when I used to smoke, and I used to say all of the time, I can quit, but I have so much going on. It's just not a good time. And I know I have to start eating better, but right now I am so stressed. I know I have to make an appointment with my doctor, but I'm too busy even to schedule it. And you know what? These are the easier things. How about the more difficult stuff? I've been severely hurt by somebody. I know at some point I have to deal with it, but not now. I just can't. And I know I'm not doing myself or anybody else any good holding a grudge, but I'm sorry. I'm just not ready to let go of this right now. I'd much rather wallow in my pain and bitterness than forgive what he did to me or what she did to me. Maybe someday, but not at this time. And sometimes we get into the real crazy stuff. I know I need to be less of a jerk and try to be a better person, but it just never seems to be like the right time. Or how about this one? I prayed really hard, really, really hard, and God let me down. And I just can't bring myself to forgive God. And for me, perhaps the craziest of them all is when we spend the better part of a lifetime never finding the right time to forgive ourselves. And so we beat ourselves up day after day after day. Every morning when we put our feet on the ground, we cheat ourselves out of enjoying life because we just can't let go of something we feel guilty or bad about. But there's a skill, maybe even art, for being able to deflect or distract from the things that are difficult or unpleasant for us. And I used to be really proud of myself in this area. A supplier or a vendor would give me a call or confront me at a trade show and say, hey, you owe us a lot of money and it's really past due. What are you going to do about it? And I would skillfully respond, yes, I know you're right. You're aware of this. And we really got to talk about this. But before we do that, I want to talk about this. And I would change the subject. And I am ashamed and embarrassed how often I would do this in my personal relationships. Every time I got uncomfortable. And you know what? After a while, it becomes not just what you do, it becomes who you are. And all of this is why we need a little Christmas right this very minute. We need a little Christmas, not in spite of the pandemic, not in spite of the unrest in our country, not in spite of the current political circus, not in spite of our cabin fever, which is driving us all nuts, and not in spite of our own personal hangups and shortcomings. Not in spite of any of this, but precisely because of all of these things. We need Christmas in July, not because it's cutesy and maybe a little fun, but because it would be helpful right now, a good time right now for the world and each and every one of us to kind of push a reset button. We sometimes hear the expression, the miracle of Christmas, and nobody would quibble with that expression, even though we may have different perspectives as to what exactly that miracle is. My very favorite Christmas carol is O Come, Emmanuel. And it contains the line that follows, and rescue captive Israel. Emmanuel means God with us. And the captive Israel represents our spiritual self that is held captive and cries out to be free. So this carol, pure and simple, praise and affirms that reality in our lives. And in unity, we boldly take this a step further. We acknowledge that sacred presence in the incarnation of our way-shower, Jesus. But we also proclaim that the Christ reality dwells in each and every one of us. And when we sing, O come Emmanuel, we are not just commemorating an event that took place 2,000 years ago. We are exhorting that presence, that consciousness, that awareness to become manifest in ourselves and one another. In the music video before the talk, in the carol, O Holy Night, there are the lyrics. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Again, in unity, our words may be slightly different, but the underlying concept applies. The world is hurting right now. The world right now is pining for help, searching for relief, hungering and thirsting for a Christmas. Not just a celebration of something that happened 2,000 years ago, but in a real, feeling, tangible, meaningful manifestation in ourselves and one another. Jesus said, all that I do, you will do and more. All of us, now in the midst of everything that's going on, we need Christmas. Each of us needs his or her soul now to feel its worth. Every winter, we get a glimpse of what can be. At least in our Christmas circles, most of us have experienced the wonder of that so-called Christmas spirit. And it goes way beyond Christmas trees and lights and decorations and cookies and carols and TV movies. For most of us anyway, every year, something reawakens. Something becomes alive. We have permission to be nice, to be kind, to sing, to smile at strangers, wish them a happy and a Merry Christmas. There's an old, somewhat unfortunate expression that sometimes is said, Christmas is for kids. And that expression is not inherently unfortunate. It only falls short because it's not complete. The full expression should be, Christmas is for kids, and we are all kids. At Christmas time, we seem to have permission to unchain that child in us. We are free to be innocent, forgiving, free to live in the moment, free to be happy, even giddy. And most of all, we are free to be caring and compassionate and loving. There have been times in history when nations at war arrive at a truce, an agreement to lay down their weapons during the Christmas season. And yes, after the truce, they return to the business of trying to annihilate one another. But it illustrates what the Christmas consciousness can do in the middle of pain, in the middle of hurting, in the middle of worry, in the middle of suffering, what the Christmas miracle can do in the middle of brokenness. In my own extended family, I have twice witnessed relationships that had been broken for decades. I have witnessed them become healed during the Christmas season, all because one person was moved to take a chance. One person decided now is the time and reached out to somebody who had refused to talk to him for over 20 years. And the result was reunion, communion, and joy and celebration. For several years after my grandmother died, my mother went into the doldrums at Christmas time. Whatever she was feeling, sorrow, aloneness, abandonment, I don't know, maybe some regrets, possibly even some guilt. Christmas was just not a good time for her, and this went on for several years. Then one year I came home after school. I walked through the door of our apartment, and I thought I was on State Street. She had gone nuts decorating in every room of our apartment, from ceiling to floor. What really took place? I think the miracle of Christmas that always had been dwelling in her heart now was given permission to be released and manifest. She had given herself permission to live again. I can't tell you specifically what may have triggered the change. I'm sure that love, in one way, shape, or form, had something to do with it. And I also know that whatever it was, the opening of her spiritual gift was a gift to the entire family, which then got carried out and extended beyond the walls of our apartment. This is why we give gifts at Christmas, right? Assuming that we don't give gifts out of a sense of duty or obligation, or I still have to buy for so-and-so. If we give a gift out of some sense of love and care for somebody, it's an expression of giving of ourselves with no conditions attached. It's a measure of the Christmas miracle, the Christ in us recognizing the Christ in another. It is a sacrament that shows the communion that is shared between the giver and the givee, and the person receiving the gifts needs to really receive them in that same spirit. Celebrating Christmas in July can be a sacred sign of the oneness that each of us shares. And if not now, when? There's another interesting phenomenon that takes place around Christmas time. We look forward to it with great enthusiasm. We spend lots of money and tons of time on decorations. Throughout the year, we moan that there's never enough time to do this and get this that done. But at Christmas time, we somehow find a time. We spend hours hanging lights on trees, gutters, bushes. The excitement builds as the day grows nearer. And we bake, we shop, we watch Christmas movies that we have seen 10 times over. We drink eggnog, and on it goes. Then, New Year's Day, if not sooner, we can hardly wait to get everything back in the boxes and stored in the attic in the crawl spaces. We collapse, we let out a great sigh, and we exclaim, thank God, that's all over until next year. Why is that? Why can't every day be like Christmas? Why can't there be Christmas in July? Is the miracle of the reality of the manifestation of God in God's children in each and every one of us, is that something that's licensed only to operate from Thanksgiving to New Year's Day? Are we really intended to restrict our joy and our wonder and our love that Christmas represents to a single season? It's almost like we're living in a prison, and Christmas is like a visitor that can only come and visit us during visiting hours. And then the bell goes off, visiting hours are over, and it's time for us to return to our cells until next time Christmas comes to pay us a visit. It's as if the world is telling us, okay, you've had your Christmas. Now it's time to get back to business. It's time to get real. There's no Santa. What is real is the stress, the strife, the conflict, the hurting, the pain, the rigmarole. You know, all that stuff that is real. None of that Christ within you malarkey. But I want to tell you something. When that bell goes off signaling that Christmas time is over and it's time for us to return to our cells, keep this in mind. Those cells, regardless of who may have built them for us, and even if we have built them for ourselves, are only as real as we may choose to make them. And if the cell doors in your life are locked, you hold the key right in your own heart. And you may use that key in July or any time, day or night, or throughout the year. Because the real miracle of Christmas is deep within your own heart. Your soul, you are the miracle of Christmas waiting to happen. Is now a good time? Is tonight a good night for us to make it a holy night? Why even wait till then? All I could say is we need a little Christmas right this very minute. And so I invite you now to join me in taking the spirit of Christmas, the reality of Christmas, into prayer and meditation.